Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most. And we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversations. We hope and pray that in joining us, you'll gain insight, wisdom, and courage to have these conversations with your own kids. It's always been tough to be a Christian from the earliest days of the faith and even to the present. We Christians have found ourselves having to defend our beliefs, and Catholics are certainly no strangers to making a defense of the faith. So here today, we invited three teenagers to come in and talk about what it means to them to defend their faith, and they can give us tactics and ideas and answers. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell us where you go to school?
I'm Sam, and I'm from Westerville South High School.
I'm Caitlin, I'm from Delaware Hayes High School.
I'm Eric, and I'm from Olentangy High School.
Great. Well, Sam and Caitlin and Eric have all been here before. These guys are pros, so thank you for coming back, sharing your wisdom with us. Do you find yourself having to defend your Catholic faith?
Absolutely.
Yes? Yes. Often?
Pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Against whom?
Anyone.
Basically.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like at school?
At school, like, I mean, online. It's mainly at school, because that's
yeah,
really like, it's, like, and online too a lot. Yeah.
Online? Oh, yeah. Like on social media?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Definitely.
Are there specific beliefs or practices that that are common that you have to defend? They come up regularly, or oh, Caitlin, getting ready to count. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we got the Eucharist. We pray to Mary, apparently, in case you didn't know.
And the saints.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The saints I actually read once that we apparently got rid of a commandment because we wanted to be able to pray to Mary. I read that somewhere on the internet.
You can't put anything on the internet that isn't true.
Okay, hey, everything and that's true. Okay. Like, just kidding. and then there's also like some of like the things that we are like strict on, like priests, like celibacy, and like priests like not being married, or women not being priests and stuff like that, that you have to defend a lot too.
Any others, Eric or Sam? Any others that you guys, other than the ones Caitlin mentioned?
That pretty much encompasses.
Yeah.
Yeah?
For the most part.
So how do you respond? So let's break those down. Let's take them one at a time. So Eucharist, what is the common argument against Eucharist?
That it's a symbol.
Yeah.
Okay, so that it's not truly the presence of the Lord in the body and blood. So how do you, what do you say to that? How do you defend that?
I often go into a rant basing my information off of John 6. That's usually what happens.
So do you rant?
I do.
Is that effective? Ranting?
It's like a nice rant. Like, it's, I'm not like a mean ranter. Like, it's
wait
like
a minute.
Nice,
what's a nice rant? I can't picture this. Give me an example.
Like, what do you mean? Well, I don't know.
Like, when I rant, it's not very nice.
Well, we're different. I don't
know. I don't think that's in the definition of ranting.
Okay, then, different word. Like, I teach. That's a better word. I teach my knowledge of the Eucharist, and I will pull example. I will pull evidence from like John 6, and like talk about stuff that is in there.
So you, Caitlin, when you respond to the claim that the Eucharist is merely a symbol, you use scriptural evidence.
Yes.
Okay. Eric, Sam, same? Or do you have a different approach? Or
I think you can use that scriptural evidence. You know, it says right there, this is my body given up for you. It doesn't say this is a symbol of my body.
Yeah. Right. And then what I like to do is to go back to the Hebrew and the Greek, which it literally says to gnaw on. Mm-hmm. When in the English it says to eat, it actually translates more closely to gnaw on. So something like that in that time wouldn't be said as like a symbol. It's like, this is like for real. Like, you are gnawing on me.
Okay.
So
does that tend to work? I mean, do you make any converts? Do you convince anybody, or
they don't argue back?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe you kind of just.
And if they do argue back, it's just because nobody's willing to listen to each other's points.
The most valid argument that I've had back is the other one that's against, like, how do we take that part literally in the Bible when we don't take other things literally? And so that you have to, like, kind of explain, but that's, like, the most, like, literal, I think, or, like, not literal, like, valid. Validative.
That's an interesting argument, though, because that can be flipped the other way,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Right. People who do take everything literally, yeah, except for some reason, not that. So, okay, so the idea that we worship Mary and pray to saints, that's one that you guys said comes up. How do you respond to that?
Well, I first just say, like, we don't pray to her. We ask, like, Mary and the saints to intercede for us. Like, they have special intentions, so if we, like, can send our prayers to them, then they can take them to Jesus, like, with that special intention.
Yeah, going along with that, like, how they're, like, the closest to Jesus, so, you know, they're, like, with him in heaven, so they're definitely, like, people that it's worthy to ask intercession for. It's not praying to them, it's asking their intercession, so.
Just as I would ask you to pray for me, or
right.
any of you to pray for me.
Right.
Any other ones? I'm sorry, I can't remember which other ones you said are common.
What did we say? Oh, I kind of went off the list.
Yeah, you did.
You did have quite a list.
You said things like female priests.
Oh, yeah, like female priests and, like, the celibacy and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Don't you find that those things are hard? Like, when you have just a minute to explain these deep, profound, theological ideas to people, but you just... like, you guys have been studying this your whole lives, and you've been learning this, and you've sought out the information, and... it's really hard sometimes in just a moment of time to encapsulate the depth of these teachings. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, because, like, no matter what we do, we can really only scratch the surface, mm-hmm, you know, because you could go on for hours and hours and hours about, you know, any of these topics because there's just so much information.
Right.
So it's really hard to, like, pick and choose the best things to say.
Yeah, that's when you just have to pray for wisdom in that moment. Social media is sometimes a good place to do it because you have time to compose your thoughts.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But Sam, like you said, a lot of times people just aren't interested in hearing your point of view. They're just interested in sharing their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Caitlin, you were talking earlier about ranting, but I guess what I want to know is what typically is the tone of these conversations when you're finding yourself having to defend your faith? Is it typically a ranting sort of tone?
No,
or
no.
Is it cordial? Is it respectful?
It's like nice and friendly. Like, and that we're not like yelling at each other or anything. Like, we just like it's a nice rant. Like, I'm just talking friendly because it's not like I'm gonna go like yell at someone who I don't want to, like, I don't want to disrespect them, but I don't agree with them, so I don't want to like
you
make
have,
it seem
you
like
have to
rude.
You have to peacefully rant,
yes,
with someone who is willing to listen to your ideas. You're not gonna have,
yeah,
a nice conversation with somebody who is completely the opposite,
yeah,
of your beliefs.
Is there a difference in tone between conversations where you're face-to-face and actually someone's having to look you in the face and conversations that maybe are taking place on social media where people don't actually have to look at you or...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
social media is, like, in general, just so much easier to do, like, something like that because, one, it's more comfortable for you because you can compose your thoughts and it's not face-to-face where, like, you're looking at the person and, like, exposing everything of yourself to that person, like, your deepest beliefs. And with face-to-face, it's all, like, on the spot and you don't know what's coming next. So this...
Are the conversations on social media more or less cordial, generally speaking, would you say?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably less because each side has more evidence that they can,
yeah,
pull from different sources all across the internet.
Yeah.
And I hear people I see people get so mean on social media. And I think that's why, like, well, I don't have to look at you so I can, you know, I don't have as much restraint. With,
yeah.
What do you guys do to set a tone that leads to a productive conversation? Are there certain things that you do to try to... I mean, when you're defending your faith, are you trying to merely defend your faith? Are you trying to convert someone? Or are you trying to convince someone?
I often find I'm trying to just defend my faith. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of people, honestly, of my group of friends who are open to changing religions. I mean, I'm friends with non-denominational Christians. I'm friends with This is at school. Obviously, everybody that I'm friends with the church is Catholic.
Weird.
I hope so.
I wonder why that could be.
But yeah, there's non-denominational Christians or atheists. Not like extremist atheists, but I guess agnostic, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really open to my beliefs, which is all right because I'm not trying to push it on to them by any means. But if they ever were curious, I would, you know, give them the talk, I guess.
So when you're talking to your friends, I mean, these are people who love you and accept you for who you are, and probably the conversation is more friendly, more informative, more an exchange of ideas. But do you find yourself in situations where it's not so friendly? Like maybe you're being attacked?
I don't think I've ever been attacked, actually. I feel like if people that I've talked to, we're both have like an understanding, like Sam was saying, like they're like, I know what you were saying, and like how they like understand you and like respect you. I feel like those are the only people that I've really, I think I have to like rant against.
You just used air quotes. That's a thing on this show, but we have to let our audience know when we do it because clearly they can't see us do it.
I'll say it next time. Sorry.
Okay, when you hear other people defend the faith, is there a certain approach that people use that appeals to you versus a certain approach that people use that turns you off from their message?
If you just start yelling, I think that's totally ineffective and that's just going to tick people off.
Yeah, so, that's...
I don't...
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mentioned this in the last show that I was on, but I have someone on my Facebook who will share pictures from miscellaneous Catholic pages on Facebook with the pages would have good intentions, but he's almost trying to start an argument. And unfortunately, I know that he is not one who could win that argument very easily.
Is he a Catholic?
He
person?
Is a Catholic.
Okay.
He is a
okay.
Catholic.
So
and
he's not posting the memes and the pictures and to enlighten people. He's posting them to
posting them to start arguments,
to start arguments
for the most part.
Wow, okay.
Or, you know, he might be sharing them to express himself, but the way he goes about it comes off as attacking in a sense.
So that is not effective. Anything that's an attack.
It just draws in criticism.
Yeah.
So what's the alternative approach? And have you seen it in action?
Like the alternative to being rude?
Well, I know, yeah, I guess I know what the alternative to being rude is. Wait, maybe that's been my problem all along. I don't understand. No. What's a way to engage people in this, you know what? Actually, let's play a clip because this is something I found that will highlight what I'm trying to get to.
All right.
Apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia. It means to give a defense. It's found in 1 Peter 3:15, which says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." The word defense is where we get that Greek word, and basically apologetics seeks to answer the questions that the world has about Christianity. Why did Jesus have to die on a cross? Did Jesus rise from the dead? Are miracles possible? Is there such a thing as prophecy, and has prophecy been fulfilled? Is Jesus really coming again? What about the Bible contradictions? Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions. But this verse right here in 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But do it with gentleness and respect." That's the key. When we share our faith, may we do it in a way that's gentle and courteous and shows respect.
So that was the 1 minute apologist talking about 1 Peter 3:15 about making a defense of the faith. And you are listening to Raising Saints on AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, and we're here today with Eric, Caitlin, and Sam. And we are talking about defending the faith or making a defense of the faith.
And so, Katie, what did you learn from that video?
Well, what I learned was that I learned finally the opposite of what it means to be rude. So thank you, Caitlin. Gentleness and respect is the opposite of rudeness. My life will change so much from here on out. But I think that he also talks about the word defense, which when I hear the word defense, I think defensive.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when I hear people making a defense of the faith, they are doing so defensively. Has that been your experience?
Generally speaking.
Sometimes. But there are some people who are really, really good at making a defense of the faith. They do it with humility and they do it with gentleness and with respect. And I think those people are so much more effective.
I agree.
Definitely.
Are there certain things that you do to stay prepared for the times that you'll have to defend your faith? Stay brushed up on your Catholic stuff?
Come to youth group.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I go to youth group.
Youth group's awesome.
I love it when the guests on the show plug their youth groups.
Yeah. Shout out to Tina Birch.
I do. Tina Birch.
St. John Newman.
That's right.
And then you at Resurrection.
Church of the Resurrection.
Wait a minute. That just got really awkward because Sam's in my youth group. Yeah. I really didn't mean to plug myself, but that's kind of how it went. Okay. So you go to youth group. That's a way that keeps you knowledgeable about your faith, helps you learn new things. What else?
I mean, just reading like parts. Like I said, I use John 6 a lot, when, especially with the Eucharist a debate or whatever that, yeah, defense.
A rant, would you say?
Anyway.
Caitlin's on a Eucharist rant, you guys.
Oh, goodness.
Look out.
It's a nice one, though.
It is a nice rant. That's right. So, scripture, Caitlin.
Yes, scripture.
Okay. What else?
Catechism.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
UCATs are especially... hey, this is a parent show. Hey, get your kid a UCAT. It is seriously the best thing you can probably ever have.
There's not a lot of big words to deal with either.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
That's very true.
It's much more comprehensible.
I second that. UCAT is the youth version of the catechism. And actually, we give it to all of our kids their confirmation year at our church. And I know that parents sneak it and read it because it's really easy to read. It's a question and answer format. It's fantastic. But so you guys use that to...
Oh, yeah.
When you,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Any books you've read or when I have kids come in my office with questions, I have copies of Did Adam and Eve Have Belly Buttons?
That is a good book.
Have you read that one?
Yes.
By Matthew Pinto. Yeah. There are a lot of good books out there like that, that can help, just give easy answers to what seem to be really difficult questions. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been challenged to the point where you questioned your own beliefs?
I think everyone has, probably.
Yeah.
You always come back.
Yeah.
I find, at least.
Or sometimes not always, like, questioning your beliefs, but, like, realizing that you don't know how to, like, defend that one belief. And, when I was talking about earlier, when they're, like, the literal tense, I, like, went back, like, to church, and I asked Tina, like, if she could explain it to me, because I didn't understand, like, why we take, why some are taken literally and one some aren't. So, like, I mean, it's not like I... question. It wasn't necessarily a question. It was more of like a confusion and like wanting to like get like more clarification.
Or like sometimes you realize, actually, I don't know why I believe what I believe. Yeah. I better figure
like,
that out.
Like, what's the background behind it? Yeah. Not like, ooh, this isn't right. But like, what's the reason to help? Like, you know, I don't know what I'm trying
no,
to say.
No, I know what you're saying. So and that makes me think of a question that's a little bit off topic, but not really. Like, I am so fine being a just blindly faithful Catholic. I don't need always a lot of explanations for things, just a lot of things I just know in my heart. So when I encounter somebody who's like a real scientific sort of person or a real, I need proof, I need, you know, I'm not always really good at... helping that person, because I'm like, I don't know, just because. Which really isn't a powerful argument.
Then you pitch them like, hey, you just gotta have faith, and they're like, no, that's stupid.
Yeah, right, like, no, that's my issue.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I remember when I went to college being really challenged in my faith, which you guys haven't experienced this yet, but by professors even, and by people who, you know, were supposed to be molding me and helping me grow. And, you know, I would just be like, oh my gosh, I don't know why I believe what I believe. So for me, that's when I really got more solid in my faith, when I really had to defend it and answer some questions that I was having. Why does it matter? Why is it important to be able to defend what you believe. I mean, why can't you just be comfortable with your beliefs and not worry about what other people think or say?
Well, I kind of like being able to defend it, because then I know that I have a thorough, like, understanding of what I believe. And not that, I mean, like, it's cool being, what term did you use, like, about not knowing? I don't know what you said.
Blindly?
Blindly, oh. Yes. Like a blindly Catholic. Like, I mean, not that I don't really, like, mind being that, but it's, I just kind of like being able to, like, understand what I believe, just emphasize, like, learning about it, more about it.
So for you, it's more if someone questions your faith, you feel important that you can own your beliefs and understand your beliefs. And
I think personally, it's what God would want. Going back to like the original way you worded the question, if you're just caring about yourself and saying, well, they can believe what they believe and I'll believe what I believe. As easy as that is, as much as that'd be really nice to do, it's your job to get other people into heaven as well, not just yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of the reason that we're here on Earth, you know, is to serve God. And one of the biggest ways we can do that is by bringing other people to the church. So,
is that hard to feel like you really want to love that person into heaven when they're when they're attacking your faith or attacking your beliefs?
I mean, they have good intentions. You still love them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness, you know, it's fine.
I actually never really have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Like, God, you know. If you're one who listens to God, which you probably should if you're a Catholic, then
yeah, I mean, it's pretty
when he says love everyone, even your enemies, or love your enemies more, frankly, then it's like, okay, I can do that.
Yeah,
if that's what you want from me, I can do that.
Wow, Sam, I want to be more like you.
No, you don't.
That's pretty impressive. When you have questions about your faith, do you ask your parents? Are they a source of knowledge or information for you, or do you have other sources? I know, Caitlin, you go straight to Tina Birch at St. John Newman.
Basically.
Yeah. I feel like I go to Father Dave at St. John Newman.
Father Dave dies more at St. John Newman. Yeah.
I can talk to my parents.
Yeah?
I mean, I don't have to very often, but if I need to, I know I can.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just, I'm always...
I'm not saying that your parents are like bad people.
No. I mean, I don't know. Like, if I ask my mom, like, sometimes I'll be like, "Hey, like, can you answer this question?" But then, I mean, Tina, like, just have her too. So I mean,
yeah, I feel like I'm at church like almost as much as I'm at home. Yeah. So,
or more,
it's kind of like your reference library.
Yeah.
Have your parents been helpful in helping you defend or better understand your faith, or did they sort of lay the foundation, and now you're kind of off finding your own new sources for information? And
I'd say mine probably more of laid the foundation, and now I'm like flying off, you know,
into the sunset.
Okay, are there certain, I know you guys have all talked about your youth group, you talked about the catechism, you talked about scripture, but just for parents who might be listening who are like, give me some sources of information so that my kid can better understand and defend the faith. I know who you're going to say.
Yeah, Caitlin. Jackie. Here comes Jackie Francois.
Come out of the. Yep. Big fan of Jackie Francois. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything specific that Jackie Francois has said that has really helped you strengthen your faith, or?
I don't. If you just read her blogs, I mean, you're just be like empowered no matter what. I can't really think of a specific one right now because I don't know.
Do you read her blog every day?
She doesn't post a new one every day, but okay, I know it's, like, funny that I'm, like, I love her, but she really, like, she's just really, like, amazing if you just read her, like, blogs and her husband Bobby's blogs, too. They're just really, like, I just think they're really powerful, and I learn a lot from them.
So that just really speaks to you, touches your heart, and you can... What about you, Eric? Is there anybody or a book or a program that you've done or a camp you've gone to or a...
So for me, there's two, like, really big people. There's Pope... Blessed Pope John Paul II, soon to be Saint Pope John Paul II.
Which of those words do we cut out when he becomes Pope?
What? Which one?
Blessed Pope Saint John Paul II.
Paul. It's Paul. It's
Paul. Saint John Paul. Yes?
Yes.
The Great?
The Great.
Maybe?
I think it's Saint Pope John Paul II.
I've heard him as JP2 more than anything, so Saint JP2.
Okay, we are totally off track. We're totally off track. Okay, back on track. So, John Paul II.
He just has, like, the most amazing, like, profound, like, everything. Like, for every issue, there's something that he has written or said that you can find that, like, will help you through that.
And don't you feel like you're literally hearing God's words whenever you read?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always feel that way about John Paul II.
Yeah. And it's then there's Christophanic, too. He's another awesome speaker, like Jackie Francois.
Christophanic, who is so opposite John Paul II terms of his approach. But, yeah, I agree about both of those. Anybody or anything for you, Sam, that's made a real impact?
I know there's a lot of smart seminarians that, as they study to become priests, they study hard and they can answer just about any question. Even the ones that you try and stump them with.
Yeah. That's great. They're a great resource, too, because everything's real fresh in their minds. They're
exactly.
Really, well, we are out of time, so let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this faith. We ask you to give us courage and strength in the times when we need to make a defense of our faith. Help us to understand more deeply who we are as Catholics. And we ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Raising Saints on AM 820. I'm Katie Wyatt. And until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancti.